Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and I'm running through all kinds of email here as I sit down, sliding into home base here to do another radio show. We've done two shows today alone on a topic that was started on our Living Network, and that topic was Prima Noctum, first night. And there's an ancient idea, and we talked about its whole history, and I actually could take it back to Herodotus in 484 B.C. and ancient Asia, where the idea that before anybody got married, the lord of the land, we can even take this all the way back to Gilgamesh and of Uruk and the epic poem. And females would be bedded by their lords on the first night of their marriage, before they got married. And now, a lot of people will tell you that that's fiction, it never happened. Well, I can guarantee you that it's happened, because I know men. And if they had the power to do it, they would do that. Did it happen all the time? No. Did this first night, prima noctum, actually exist? And that's what we've been talking about. There was an actual article put out by Martin Armstrong, and he's a famous economist, and he's also a historian, and he's done a lot of research in showing how, by actually going back to the books of these lords and kings, you find this tax on women getting married, and even sometimes men paying this tax associated with marriage. And he, of course, if you research it and follow the money, you research it as a right and privilege, and follow the money, you'll find out where this is all coming from. And I haven't read everything that he's written on it. Evidently, he's got a series of articles, and he's got a publication, and you can sign up for it, and all that stuff. And I don't want to just promote him, but he didn't invent prima noctum, but he did do a little research, and we talked about it in the last couple of shows, and exactly what it meant. And, you know, he shows it showing up in history in central Switzerland with Lord of Mauer and a lot of these different people. And he did a lot of research, and if you're interested, I'm sure you Google him and find out all about him. And like I said, we mentioned him in the last two shows, and you can eventually see those if you join the Living Network. And I also want to add to this that we have somebody who's going, he's actually down in San Diego today. I thought he was going to be in Los Angeles still, but he's already got it down in San Diego. We'll be there another week. And then he's going to be going to back to Los Angeles. And then in another week, he'll be going to Las Vegas. And he's our traveling minister. And he's starting to explain a lot of what this Seeking the Kingdom is all about. What the Living Network is all about. What the church used to do many years ago when the church was first established by Jesus Christ. Because the church today isn't doing any of those things. It's not doing them. I mean, it does a little token there and here and there, but you don't have most people don't have a clue what the church was doing. Now, a lot of people are noticing that they're not free, like this idea. If you watch Braveheart, they mention this prima noctum in that. And, you know, it's great Hollywood stuff. But the reality is, this was basically a tax. And I'm sure some people couldn't pay the tax, or maybe some people didn't want to pay the tax, and some women got raped by kings and lords. But kings and lords, you know, they could get stabbed in the night, or somebody slit their throat in the days of, you know, they don't have guards walking around them all the time. And if you start doing too many nasty things, somebody's going to do a nasty thing to you. Except in America today. I mean, you can get all kinds of nasty things done to you today, and everybody just shuts their shades and their windows, because we're in a worse state than the prima noctum days. We're in a worse state than the serfdom and peasantry of ancient times. But we're just so darn comfortable, we don't want to think about it. As far as freedom and liberty in the world today. We see it eroding rapidly. We're actually being poisoned. I talked about some of that. You know, we talk about, you know, GMOs on some of these stations all the time and how bad they are for you. And, you know, I was winning first place in the Houston Greater Science Fair when I was 13 years old. And actually, I was dealing with making plants grow twice as big as they would normally do. But then I decided to go into the ministry, and I've been doing that. Love to go back to my work with plants and everything. But I just don't have any time because you guys don't do any real studying and learning. We've got somebody on the Oregon group now, which is part of the Living Network, which everybody should be a part of. And then as soon as you get on there, your main goal should be to form congregations of record and to gather together for the purposes of Christ. What was the purposes of Christ? To serve, to save others, not to save himself, but to save others. So if you're not doing that, or you don't want to do that, you don't want to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So therefore, you are not a follower of Christ. And no matter what your pastor's been telling you, you don't really believe in Christ because you don't believe in doing what he said to do. And you don't really love Christ because you don't love to do what he said to do. And you're not saved. You're a worker of iniquity. Because if you don't do anything to seek righteousness, your apathy is what you do, which is nothing. You're like the guy who buried his talent in the ground. God's just going to come and take away whatever you got. He's going to take it away from you and leave you with nothing. You know, so that's the beaten up part. So we're going to mix this up a little bit with the Prima Noctum. It was a tax. But what was the really damaging thing in this tax? What was really the bad thing in this tax, this Prima Noctum tax that you had to pay? Now, we also discussed, well, who's your daddy? Who's your father? Jesus said, call no man on earth father. Well, why do we need to know that? What does that mean? Well, what's your father? I mean, when Samson wanted to get married, he went and asked permission to his father because he belonged to his father. He is his father's son. He has to do that if he wants to inherit his father's rights. All our rights come from who? Adam and Eve, supposedly. I mean, whether you believe in Adam and Eve or not, they come from your father. Your father gave you life. He gave you your rights, and they passed down to you. Because God gave you your father. That's why God says, honor your father and your mother. If you're not honoring your father and your mother, you don't have any rights. You're a violator of the law. What does that mean, honoring your father and your mother? Did you know that the Corban of the Pharisees made it so that people did not honor their father and their mother? Honoring your father and your mother means to fatten your father and your mother. That means to help them. That doesn't mean to go back and live at their house. That's go back and work hard and add on to their house. Bless them. They blessed you with life. How are you blessing them? You see? We don't think about our father and mother. We don't think about our neighbor. There's no hue and cry in the land anymore. We should be peasants. We should be under tribute. What does the Bible say about being under tribute? The slothful should be under tribute. So now, if you're a diligent, hardworking, industrious, loving individual, you might be able to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're honest and forthright and not a backbiter and not a... you know, a lot of these other things they list off in the Bible, you might be eligible for the blood of Christ, for the visitation of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of that Holy Spirit. You might be able to wake up and see what's really happening. But most people are completely unaware of this. Now, we talked a little bit about Augustus Caesar starting. He actually didn't start marriage certificates, but he changed some of the statutory laws. He started moving away from the natural law, which is what governed marriage, because marriage was a natural relationship. It wasn't a civil relation. Augustus's reforms, adultery became a civil crime instead of a personal crime that it used to be under what they call Lex Julia, de adulteris. Coercendis, which means adultery by coercion. Or sort of, that's loosely translated. But used to be you could just divorce a woman by intent. You could marry a woman by intent, by expressing that intent. But Augustus did a lot of things. Augustus was the death of the Republic. Because see, in a Republic, the leaders are titular. They don't have any exercising authority. The power of law is in the hands of the people. The power of jury is in the hands of the people. Read our articles on jury nullification. You have the right to decide fact and law. Some fat guy, a corrupt politician, 1,000 miles or 3,000 miles away, he doesn't have the right to decide what the law is for you. The law has already been here for thousands of years. You don't make up the law. The law is the law. This, which brings me to the discussion on the Oregon group, where somebody's talking about legal title and lawful title and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I read it and he doesn't know what he's talking about. All you have to do is leave out a few pieces of the puzzle and you're not going to get that puzzle together. All you have to do is turn a few of them upside down or around or bite one of them. I used to have a brother-in-law who we'd sit there and we'd be putting together. We didn't do this very often. But if you were putting together one of these giant puzzles, you know, 1,000 pieces, 5,000-piece puzzle, I don't know how many there were, a lot of them. Now everybody's putting them together at a gathering. He would take one piece and hide it in his pocket. Because somehow it was like, to him, it was so competitive that you would, when you finally got down and everybody's looking, where's that last piece? Where's that last piece? Then he'd come up and he'd put the last piece in. Like somehow he finished the puzzle. You know, this is kind of a mental game. Well, that's what everybody's playing, is mental games. Especially when you're talking about the law and what's going on. And this is, again, going to be part of our shift series. Show you how societies shift away from righteousness. And then they wonder why they're enslaved. Wonder why people are poisoning them. And the government is getting away with it. It's getting away with it because you ain't the government. You don't love your neighbor as yourself. You're slothful in the ways of God. That's why I've drank milk this week. I didn't drink any poison. I ate meat this week. I didn't eat any poison. Because I know the milk cow. I know the milk cow's mother. I know the milk cow's daddy. And I know the cow that I ate. So I'm not getting as poisoned as you are. And you're all worried about, we have to make a law to make this way, make that way. There is a law. Make it yourself. Or gather together with other people. Community-supported agriculture. Well, one community is supporting agriculture that's poisoning the entire nation and would like to poison the entire world, except for GMOs have been outlawed in many, many countries. But it's not outlawed in your country. We mentioned in one of the last shows we just did a video of somebody who was studying dietary habits of cats, and he put them all in these cages, and he was feeding them certain diets. And the ones that we put on a diet that included homogenized and pasteurized milk showed visible decretion in, you know, he had several different categories of diet. That and evaporated milk was worse, but the homogenized pasteurized milk diet that the cats were receiving showed serious debilitation that continued to magnify over generations, including a loss of sexual appetite. Your kids are gay, you say? Maybe it's the milk they're drinking. You know, it could be the vaccines. It could be the GMOs. It could be all kinds of things. It could be a combination of all kinds of things. But you know what it really is? You don't love your neighbor as yourself. You don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about your personal comfort. Why aren't you getting involved with agriculture? People on the farm, try to get them to grow stuff that's not GMO. And then you should see, you know, my grandkids, they're getting ridiculously healthy. They're turning into like super people. You know, foot taller than all the other kids, is smarter than all the other kids. Why is that? You know, something's going on here. Something's happening to you. When you saw those cats in the second generation, third generation, and all they did was change the diet. And this is back when the diets weren't that bad. Now, am I telling you just to change your diet? No, you have to change your thinking. You have to change the way you think. You have to change your mind. This is what baptism and repentance is all about. It's not about water. You know, they say repent and get baptized, and you all go and get dunked in water. You're just all wet. So anyway, Caesar was changing the laws. You know, eventually they had to make a law, and they created something called Marriage Diem, and that was under, was it Julian? I actually have all the details on that. It was back when the church was around, but they passed a law so that unnatural marriages could start taking place, and they call it Marriage Diem, and that's where you get marriage today. And they eventually passed a law that you had to get a marriage license if you were going to inherit. Well, you're going to inherit because you're so-and-so's son. But you see, what was happening is everything that everybody owned, they didn't own anymore. They didn't own themselves. They didn't own their land. They had legal title to the land. And this goes back to what this other fellow in Oregon is talking about. He's talking about legal and lawful. I should pull that up and read you a little bit of that, because it's like crazy. It's like somebody's not paying attention at all. You know, I mean, he talks in it like he says, you probably know there's a difference between lawful and legal. You know, 20 years ago, I wrote Law versus Legal. You know, besides studying for the ministry when I was 13 years old and attending St. Joseph's College in California at 13 and 14, etc. My father was an attorney who wrote law books. And Law versus Legal is one of the chapters of Covenants of the Gods. And I brought him the first chapters of that and asked him what he thought. This is, you know, the summa cum laude graduate of Creighton Law University, highest score ever at that time on the Texas bar exam, passed the California bar exam first try, writing law books for Matthew Bender. He reads the first part of the Covenants of the Gods, and he says, "You're right, but they're not gonna like you." Why? Because I know what I'm talking about, and they don't want you to know what you're talking about. And this fellow writing on, I've got other people calling in. Don't they know I'm on the radio? But the fact is that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And, you know, I read this big long post that he's had time to put together. And it's like, all this stuff, we've covered this. You read the book. It's free. Online. Read it. Start studying. Stop reading to figure out what you want to hear. And start reading to figure out what the truth is. He talks about a legal title is created by a grantor. No, it isn't. Where do you get that? He says trust is a legal entity, excuse me. That's actually what he said. It's created by a grantor. Well, yeah, a trust is created by a legal, it is a legal entity. If we're talking about a statutory trust, and it is created by a grantor, but it's also created by the trustee who receives something that is being granted. But if you're going to just use the term trust, there's at least 30 different kinds of trust. What are we talking about? What I was actually looking for while I'm talking and people are ringing in the phone here is that he was talking about a legal title here, and I'm not going to be able to pull it up right now and read and talk at the same time. But anyway, he was talking about a legal title. He had a particular phrase there. But a legal title is really very simple. I mean, I give you the definition. It's just right out of the Black's Law Dictionary. I've got it memorized by heart. A legal title is an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. There you got it. In any case, it is the antithesis of equitable title, whom the law considers to be the true owner of the property. There you got the rest of it. That's a legal title. So you go pay $400,000 for a house. You go pay, you know, $30,000 for a car, and you got the legal title. Do you own it? No. Nope. I mean, you own the legal title, but you don't own the car because you're not the true owner of the property. You only own the legal title. Now, if you want to go buy that house from that guy, what can he sell you? He can only sell you the legal title because that's all he's got. And the legal title does not include the beneficial interest. It never has. What has created the legal title? Well, all kinds of things could do, but basically what creates it is contract. Contract makes the law. Why? Because God said, thou shalt not bear false witness. That says it's that simple. Somebody made a contract, and they made this contract a number of different ways, and you can't come in, you cannot go to somebody who has legal title to a property and buy lawful title from them. He doesn't have it. Now, there's all kinds of other elements that are necessary because your testimony must be pure if you want to buy. If say that guy has lawful title and you want to buy from him, what are you going to pay for? Are you going to pay somebody else's note? Then you haven't paid for it because you cannot pay a debt with a note. That's practical sense, but I'm actually quoting the law. Stanek versus White. You cannot pay a debt with a note. So if you're going to give somebody notes, checks, Federal Reserve notes, bank notes, anything for the purchase of lawful title, you ain't getting lawful title because you have not paid present value. There is no exchange. There's only promises. Your testimony is not true. You did not pay for it. Payment requires present value. So you don't have present value, you're only going to get legal title. The one who promised to pay with the note, they're going to hold the true and actual title. So does that mean the bank or the Federal Reserve holds true and actual title? Well, maybe, maybe not. But it's for sure you don't. Okay, now this is all covered in great detail and hours of audio and books and chapters. It's on HTML code. Go read it. You don't like what you're hearing? I understand. I understand you won't like what you're hearing, but it's the truth. Find out where it's incorrect. Okay, what else do you need in order to have lawful title? You need status. You need standing. How do you get standing? As someone who can purchase something, a lawful title. You say, well, we get it from God. How do you get it from God? How does God give you the right to lawful title? Dominion. Of the right to hold dominion, lawful title, allodial title, whatever you want to call it, how does he give you that? By your fathers. The kingdom of God is from generation to generation. Who's your daddy? Well, you say, well, the state's not my daddy because Jesus said, call no man father. And if you've read our articles on call no man father, you would know that. But, you know, that was one of the reasons why we started talking about this first night. Prima noctum, and having to get a license to get married, or your children would be considered illegitimate, and you wouldn't inherit anything. How can somebody do that? How can they stop you from inheriting from your father? Because when you were a peasant, your father was the lord of the manor. When you were a serf, your father was lord of the manor. So you had to ask him for permission to get married, or your marriage wouldn't count. Who's your daddy? And in order to get that permission, you wanted some money. Now, even when you got that permission, you guess what? If you get permission from your daddy to marry, is it a frank marriage, what they call a frank marriage? No strings attached. Well, I haven't seen any government ever give a marriage with no strings attached. You know, in our series on holy matrimony versus marriage and other series that talk about this, we point out that Karl Marx never got a marriage license. He just wrote out a contract. His wife was aristocracy. And they just wrote out a contract and signed it before witnesses, and they were married. They didn't need a ceremony. They didn't need permission. Things have changed. Shift happens. George Washington didn't get a marriage license. Thomas Jefferson didn't get a marriage license the first time or the second time. His wife died. Just so you didn't think it was divorce. So anyway, if you're only going to study history to glean from it what you want to hear, you're handicapped. You're not going to figure out what is really going on. Oh, here it is. Legal, he has here. Legal with an equal sign. Of relating to law, but without substance. Without the substance. Legal. That's not what legal means. Legal comes from the Latin word lex legis, to bind. It has to do with contract. If your word isn't substance, then you're not honoring your word. You're a bearer of false witnesses, and there is no place for liars in the kingdom of God. You have to move and seek righteousness and honorability. You want to be free? You got to do it the right way. You can't steal from others and say you are free. Thieves, stealing is wrong. These titles, you know, he goes and he says, lawful and legal are not the same things, as I am sure you are well aware. I'm the guy who wrote the book on that and took it to top attorneys in the United States and said, hey, isn't this what it means? And they say, yeah, but they're not going to like you if you start telling people. And guess what? We tell people for free. You can just download the whole books for free. But if you're not going to read it, don't expect me to respond to your emails. If you're not going to pay attention and actually, you know, present a logical argument against what I've already stated for decades, why should I take my valuable time and waste it on you? I shouldn't. Now, I actually love this guy, but if he's tuned into the show, I hope he's listening. I guess I sent the entire network the fact that I was going to be on the show right now, and so hopefully they all turned in. Well, we're going to give him a commercial break, and I'm going to read another guy's email so that I can respond to that, and then we're going to try to get back to the first night right after these words. I'll be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about law versus legal, and we're talking about the first night, which was a tax if you wanted to get married. And one of the things about that tax, if you wanted to get married, it really wasn't about the tax. You know, they loved the money, follow the money. You know, and we pointed out, you know, that's why Christ was crucified. It was the money. And we explain why that is. You know, we tell you what the money changers were and what they were doing, who they were in the Old Testament, and how they were running a system of Corban that was making the Word of God to none effect. And by the time you get through all that and find that out in these nice, easy-to-read articles, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will realize that you're doing all the things that the Pharisees did, but you're calling yourself a Christian. And you're not doing anything that the first century church did, but you're wondering why you're not free, why they get to poison you, why they get to take your sons and daughters, take the first fruits of your labor, why they get to do that. You would know that if you actually heard the gospel. And that's what we talk about here, is the gospel. Now, what do we do? You know, that because I have to talk about things to get you to see spiritual realities. You know, what we do is we heal the sick. And now, we haven't raised anybody out of the grave yet, but we are raising people up to life. That's what we do here. And if you want to know more about what we do here, join the Living Network. Join a congregation. We just had a fascinating conversation. It started with one of our congregations in the Midwest. And it was so important that I was sharing it with all the ministers across the country and in Australia and wherever. And they were all getting bits and pieces of it. And actually, I started another one, but I only can work about 16 to 18 hours a day, and then I start getting tired. So, and then I've got guys that I've already given away the book to, they can read it anytime, writing me emails that don't make any sense, making up definitions of words like legal, when it's very clear what it means, and it's the product of contract, either constructive or executed contracts, which we explain. I've explained to people decades ago and are from definitions hundreds of years ago, 20 years ago, last year. You can't redefine words to fit your eschatology. You can't redefine reality. You have to find out what reality is and fit in it. What is reality? It's the opinion of God. And God has the opinion that you're supposed to be seeking righteousness. Now, this other fellow who wrote, who's on the group, and I actually don't know who he is. I don't recognize the email. But I sent the group a notice that I was going to be talking about this, so maybe they're turning in. Because, I mean, we've got, I don't know how many people on the Living Network, and they all got notices shortly before the show started, so maybe they're turning in. But, you know, they might be at work or someplace or doing something. Then I hope everybody's not sitting on their computer waiting for an email from Brother Gregory. But if you get one, you ought to read it. Because I took the time to write it. Anyway, he's responding to this big, long dissertation, which these people are trying to get the idea that they can just take a car that has a legal title and remove the stickers and the license and say that it belongs to them. And they got, you know, kind of flaky arguments that everything belongs to God. Well, everything did belong to God and still does belong to God. And what, in essence, is God gave Adam and Eve legal title to the earth. But his legal title, how does he define it? We call it dominion. It included both the legal and equitable titles. So as far as God is concerned, you own the planet, individually, not collectively. You own a piece of the rock. Now, how does it become proper property rights for you to say, this land is my land? How does it become property rights to say, this car is my car? Not by stealing. Now, people want to say, oh, well, they got all these titles to our car and to our land and to our children out of fraud. Where do you get that? They wrote out, you know, I'm nobody out in the middle of the wilderness. I'm a sheep herder in the high deserts. And sitting out here with a handful of books that my father came and put on my doorstep one day in a bizarre spiritual event, because I wasn't looking for law books. But 3 months later, I was writing Covenants of the Gods, you know, and I was working 15, 16 hours a day then, raising kids. You know, I didn't have 6 kids yet then, but eventually I did. I had enough to keep me busy, and I figured it out. Why? Because they wrote it out in the book. I wasn't looking for the answer, but God was looking to show me. Now I pick up this big book from this little stack that was set next to my chair that I took off the front porch so the rain didn't get on. And I would just kind of flick through it, and all of a sudden I'd see a page, and that would just light up to me. And I would see a little paragraph and it light up, and I'd read it. And then there would be one word that would jump out, and I'd read it. I'd go look up that word. One of the books was the Black's Law Dictionary. I discovered I didn't understand what words mean. He's not going to explain anything to me by redefining the word legal to mean something that it doesn't really mean. That's not going to help anybody. There's over 700 to 800 footnotes in every one of the books that we have online that you can download for free, so you can check me out. And I've only found a few people that actually goes and finds those books and see if I had it right. I'm uncovering the deception and giving it to you for free. Like when I was explaining this morning about learning to tan hides when I first came here. You know, rabbit hides, goat hides, deer hides, everything, you know, because that's, we lived, we're 100 miles to town. If we didn't produce it, we didn't eat it. That's the way we lived. I've had 2 offers this year to do TV shows, off-the-grid TV shows. And they want to emphasize, you know, and I'm a character. I could do that. I could do those TV shows. But we don't really want to do it. That's a distraction. If you're not finding the spiritual path, why should we show you the physical path? But anyway, I showed people how to tan hides and they couldn't do it. Why? Because they didn't want to do the work. I can show you how to be free, but you won't do it, most of you, because you don't want to do the work. You're slothful. You're supposed to be under tribute. You're not supposed to be free. And you're not going to be free. Now, I always tell everybody who wants to walk the path of righteousness and do what Christ said, and Abraham said, and Moses said, and Enoch said, that you're going to be free. But if you don't put on the full armor of God, you're not going to survive freedom. And that's just the way it is. So this other fellow I mentioned, I didn't get to read his deal. He says, perhaps one way the question of ownership is answered is by who is feeding the poor, giving drink to the thirsty, and making prison visits. Well, I do all those things. And I take time to show people the truth and do 3-4 hours of radio broadcasts a day. And answer all kinds of emails. And still tend to sheep and cattle and try to tend to my family and my grandkids. I haven't seen my great-grandkids in a while, but hey, you know, they live a little farther away. But besides all that, what have we been doing this week? You'd be shocked. You'd be surprised what we do. We're not going to tell you. I was telling you that we've had this interesting conversation that went out to all the ministers. So everybody who has joined the Living Network and has taken the time to gather together for love of neighbor, gather together in congregations of record because they love their neighbor as themselves and they want to be there for their neighbor, all they have to do is check with their minister that they have chosen for themselves, and he'll share all that information with you that we just shared. It's all the stuff that's between the lines that is a part of that divine inspiration. Now, that's not the half of what we have to offer. Because like I said, we're in the business of healing the sick, making people whole who are not whole. Evil is into dividing people, deceiving people, changing the definition of words so that you'll think this way and go this way and cripple yourself and produce nothing. And I'm thinking of a lot of people here, because I know a lot of people over the years that I've seen that are doing all these things. But he goes on to say, I wonder what the kingdom would look like if we spent as much thought, time, and energy on helping the helpless as we do on sanctifying ourselves and setting ourselves free from the burdens of pain for paved roads and snow removal while still enjoying the benefits of these things. The reality is the fellows who want to drive without the stickers on their car and the licenses and all those kind of things, or without a driver's license, they're still paying for all those things because they're buying gas. And that's what pays for those things. It's the gas tax that pays for all those things. They're not paying for the roads. So that's a fallacious argument. He missed that. He kind of got off track because he doesn't know what he's talking about either. But he's right. And we should be spending more time, not so much just helping the helpless. I mean, if they're truly helpless, right. But helping those that don't help learn to help. You know, I mean, you can give a guy a fish if he's hungry, or you can teach him how to fish so that he doesn't get hungry tomorrow. So that's what we're doing. We're teaching you how to come together. We had people who needed help down in the Midwest. And we just tapped into the network, and we had people volunteering to help them. But we need to find a greater and greater source of this. Right now, we need help out here. We need a lot of people working and laboring, but we also need some funds to buy some materials to do that with, because we don't have all the materials. We got a lot. But we're not just interested in anybody coming here. Most of the people that come here are often more of a burden than they are of a help. Some of them eventually progress to the point where they actually can be a help. And then usually we send them out to help somebody else, because that's what we're about, is helping other people. We're not here to feed everybody that's hungry. We're here to feed the brethren of Christ that are hungry. Because remember, that's what he says. He says, you can come into the kingdom because you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visited me when I was in prison. And they said, when did we do this? He said, when you did it to the least of my brethren. That's anybody who is seeking the ways of the kingdom. The slothful, they should be hungry. The lazy, lying, no good for nothing people of the world who hate and despise the Lord should be hungry. And you say, well, he said, love your enemy. We do. Fasting is good. I didn't say they should die of starvation, but they should fast till they get up and start getting busy. God is a busy God. If we're made in the image of God, he made the universe. What'd you make lately? You see my point? We are to be industrious. We are to be diligent. We are to be doers. We are to persevere. We are to strive. If somebody's telling you don't have to do anything but just think a thought and you're saved, they're a liar. Jesus didn't say that, and neither did Paul. If you take Paul in the context of Paul, and you have to take Paul in the context of Christ, because Paul taught Christ first. Now, this fellow goes on to say that questions of ownership and use and title seem pointless. And now you can go on our website at hisholychurch.org. Join the network. I advise you to join the network in your local areas. Just email, and then you get to know these people offline. That's why we have people going around to places like Las Vegas and Los Angeles and everything. You get online, and you'll know when they show up, and they will show you how Christ set men free. And you, if you want to be one of those diligent, striving, seeking people, they'll show you what to do. Exactly how you do it, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But they'll show you the plan that Christ laid down. And you can see it for yourself. You think they're crazy, you think they're wrong, fine. But if you haven't looked, if you haven't checked it out, you know, I can't help you. But anyway, he says, questioning the ownership, use, title, seems pointless if it is all about our own self-righteousness and freedom. Absolutely. The guy, he was a little bit off on worried about the paved roads and gas taxes, because they're paying the gas taxes. But that's okay, because he really made it up with this last line. He nailed it. We're not supposed to be seeking our self-righteousness. We're righteous because we're separate. And you're not even really separate. You had to redefine words in order to become separate. Now, you want to become separate? I'll show you how to become separate. But that's not important, getting separate, as much as it is getting connected with Christ. Getting connected to God. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't say, come, the first thing he doesn't say is, come out of them, my people, lest ye be partakers of the sin. There's no point in doing that unless you're going to do it by walking a righteous path. And that righteous path means to give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God. But if you walk that path, everything that's Caesar's will be yours. Because Caesar, like Saul, like the Caesar, like Nimrod, like all these guys who go whoring after these other ways, contrary to the ways of Christ, they all fall. They always collapse. I don't have to take them down. I don't have to overthrow them. I have to overthrow the evil in my own heart, the selfishness in my own heart. I have to be willing to lovingly work 16, 18 hours a day. And even though I was beating him up, you know, the guy who presented this. And if he wants, he can go. I mean, there's hours of audio on legal title. There's at least one whole concentrated hour. There's a whole chapter on law versus legal. Read it. And it's in a book that is, are like, every chapter is like spokes of the wheel. They all show you all the connection. Holy matrimony versus marriage. Why the marriage license came about. What it means to get a marriage license. Now, am I telling you not to get a marriage license? No, you didn't hear me say that. I'm telling you what it is. Because I'm not against the world. I'm not fighting against the world. I actually so love the world, I give 18 hours a day, that it might be saved. Why? Because that's what Christ did. Christ sacrificed his whole life. I hope I have the courage to do that. I'm not volunteering. Just whatever God wants, it's up to him. I like being alive. I'm not crazy about getting hung on the cross. But you have to be willing to go that way. But this is really a spiritual journey. I'm talking about these talks about ownership and title and all these different things that we talk about in the world. These are physical representations of spiritual truths. So I'm talking about spiritual things using physical objects and realities to talk about them. You want to be free? Set your neighbor free. Start gathering together so you do not need the benefits of the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, because Christ said you were not to be that way. So you want to create a society that operates by faith, hope, and charity entirely, so that when your neighbor's house gets hit by a meteorite and his three sons in the crib and in the cradle survive, you can walk over there and carry them to adulthood because you were connected to that family. You can do that because you had gathered together with that family. You had gotten married with that family as your witness, and you made a record of it. And you got a baptism where it says that you are the sponsors of this child. And if anything happens to me, they get to take my children. Then the benefactors who exercise authority can't take your children and sell them to a homosexual couple. But if you don't gather together and use the power of a legal contract to protect one another, putting on this full armor, that power to contract is a power that God gave you. It is a two-edged sword. But you want to do this with other people of the same spirit. What spirit is that? What spirit is that? Do you remember? The spirit that so loves the world that they lay down their life daily for not only those who love them, but even for their enemy. Because we want our enemy to see the truth. You don't realize, and I said this in the last show, that if you really start loving your neighbor as yourself, that kind of love, that Christ-like love, will be like hot coals on the enemy's head. And it will warm the hearts of those who love him. Same love. Same love. It will burn them, but it will bless those. And that's how you know. When you give them heck and tell them the truth because you love them, you rebuke them because you love them, you scold them because you love them, you wake them up because the house is on fire and they need to wake up to get out of the house of Satan and into the ways of Christ. That's what I'm not condemning the world. The world will condemn itself. I'm saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is righteousness? Love your neighbor as yourself with real love, really caring for the sick. We've taken over partial care of a neighbor who was sent home to die, and he's getting better. Shucks, the doctor was wrong. As soon as we got him out of the hospital, he started getting better. Isn't that amazing? But and the government offered us money for doing it. I said, I'm sorry. We can't take any money from you because I don't know where you got it from. See, they operate by force. We didn't used to do that in America. We used to operate by love and charity. Elderly people who didn't have enough to take care of them, neighbors took care of neighbors. Churches took care of the sick and the needy of society. They had a moral criteria to it. I mean, if you wanted to go out and get drunk every night, they weren't going to buy the booze. But they didn't want to see you starve to death. But they rewarded righteousness. You see, because we're supposed to feed and clothe and visit the brethren of Christ. The enemy, they're kind of on their own. I mean, we love them, but we can't use God resources and risk starving. You know, we'll feed the enemy from time to time, you know. They may not get as big a helping as the righteous. We'll give them some crumbs, sure. And the fact is everybody isn't, you don't have to be absolutely righteous for us to help you. We picked this particular individual because he's one of the most Christian fellows. He doesn't go to church or anything, but he's one of the most Christian fellows in the community. I've known him for years and years and years. I don't know if I'd pick you or not. I don't know you, and I don't know you, because you haven't joined the Living Network. So go to the websites and join the Living Network. And until you do, peace on your house or whatever house you live in. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.